again, that there is something valuable and unique about every human being purely on the basis of their being made in the image of God, and we need to remember that. We're starting a new series today, and I'm excited to share this with you. We believe so strongly that it is vital for the growth, that it is the responsibility of a church to preach and to sit under the Word of God. Now, we want to ground everything that we do in God's Word. And so no matter what we do on Sunday morning, we want there to be a focus on the Word of God. Sometimes we go directly through a book in the Bible. We did that a lot of last year, where we worked through the book of Mark, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because we want to hear from God's Word. Other times there's a topic that comes up, or a topic that we feel is really important for the church to understand, and so we will look at a topic, but even when we look at a topic, we are still trying to ground that topic in God's Word, and that we want, if we're going to talk about some topic, we want to make sure that we're looking at a passage of Scripture that is about that topic, and we're saying, what does Scripture say about this topic, not what do we think about some topic. That we are not up here giving our opinion, we are up here trying to submit ourselves and to sit under the Word of God. And so in 2020, we've looked at some things. We looked at prayer and examining how prayer is supposed to function. And then we looked at the road to Calvary as we prepared our hearts for Easter. And then after that, we, in light of this global pandemic, we've looked at what does the Bible say about Christians living in uncertain times. And today, we're starting a new series, and I am excited to share that with you. The teaching team at Stonebridge has spent a lot of time praying and discussing and talking about what do we think God is moving our church toward? What do we as a church need to focus on? That we want to be sensitive to where God is moving, that we aren't just going to pick a book out of the Bible for the sake of having a book of the Bible to go through, but what we think our church needs to hear. And we have decided to go through the book of Acts. And the more that we've discussed this series and what it would look like, the more excited we've become. We think that this is exactly what Stonebridge needs right now. In the book of Esther, Esther's cousin encourages Esther to go to the king to save the people. And he tells Esther this line, "Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" And the teaching team at Stonebridge thinks that we might be going through Acts for such a time as this. That this is exactly what our church needs to hear. We have young families starting out. We have a good group of young adults that can really step up and grow and mature in the church. We believe that our church needs more of a zeal and a passion for sharing the Word of God and joining in the mission of God, that we need to crystallize as a church what it means to be the set-apart holy people of God that doesn't give in to the culture around us. And that a lot of these things are come up in the book of Acts, and we just think that this is going to speak so well to our church, where we're at, and more importantly, it's going to challenge us as Christians and as a church to keep growing. We haven't made it there yet. When we see in the book of Acts, we're going to see this theme over and over again, that God is at work in the early church. And the cry of our heart is that the Holy Spirit would still be at work in our church today. Now, Acts, admittedly, is a long book. I looked it up. It's the second longest New Testament book by number of words. And so we're going to try and go through this book at a good pace, one that's faithful to wrestling with every passage in the book of Acts, but at the same time, we're not going to get bogged down in the book of Acts and spend like 5 years going through this book. But we want to be attentive and focus on God's Word, but we're gonna try and move through it at a good pace. And so today, what we want to do is something a little different. We don't normally do this, but we think it's really important, and that's to give an overview of the entire book of Acts. That we think this is important because we're about to spend many, many months going through either chapters or portions of chapters as we work through 28 chapters in the book of Acts. But we think it's important to use a metaphor that we don't get bogged down by looking at individual trees. That before we look at individual trees, we want to see the whole forest. We want to see big picture, where do all the chapters and where do all the trees in my metaphor, what broad picture do they give us? What is God speaking through the author of Luke saying as a whole in the book of Acts? That once we can understand the big picture, once we see the entire forest and its layout, then we're going to work through chapter or section of chapter at a time so that we can hear God's word. And so that's what we're going to try and do today, see an overview of the forest. And like any book or passage in the Bible, there's four things that we need to know right off the bat. And that's the author, the audience, the genre, and the purpose for the book. And so we want to look at those today. And the author of the book of Acts is a first century doctor named Luke. He is a companion of Paul, who most likely wrote this book in Rome while Paul was in jail. And that's where the book of Acts ends, which seems to be that's when it was written. And the audience is first century Christians spread out all over the Mediterranean world who are trying to understand, what is the church all about? It's funny, though, the book of Acts is actually part two of Luke's work. That Luke writes two different books, and they're kind of a two-part volume set. That first there's the Gospel of Luke, and then there's the book of Acts. And that they're really telling overall the same story, because it's all about Jesus. That in the Gospel of Luke, Luke focuses on the ministry of Jesus. That this is who Jesus is and what he came to do, and it ends with the cross and the resurrection, the ultimate victory that Jesus wins. But then, writing to the same author, he jumps right into the book of Acts and says, I'm going to continue to talk about the continued work of Jesus after the ascension, because it's going to go through the entire book of Acts, and we're going to see over and over again that Jesus is still at work, and the community that he planted is still being moved by Jesus, and that their goal and all they're trying to do is proclaim that the Jesus that walked and died and rose again is the Lord over everybody. And that the entire volume of Luke and Acts is focused on Jesus. Now, many Christians, early Christians in the 100s and 200s AD, would call this book the Acts of the Apostles, and that's how we get this title. But it doesn't seem to be a particularly good explanation of the book of Acts. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles. Not really the Acts of the men and the women who went out and shared the gospel around the Mediterranean. It really is emphasizing the Acts of Jesus, or the Acts of Jesus as witnessed in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what this book of Acts is all about. What was God doing through the Holy Spirit to take the good news of Jesus to the globe? And so when we come to a book in the Bible, we want to first see that, but the second thing we want to look at is the genre. Because the question that matters is not what do we try to come to any book in the Bible and say, what am I supposed to get out of this? The question we should be asking is, what does the author want to teach me? And that is usually that's always dictated by the genre and the purpose. Why did the author write the book the way he did, and what was he trying to accomplish? And when we read the book of Acts, it's pretty clear that this is the genre of historical narrative, that Luke is telling stories, and there's an emphasis on the Jewish standard of the way that they told stories. And when we read this whole book and we see it in the big picture, in the 30,000 view overview of the book of Acts, we see that the point and the purpose that Luke is writing is because he wants everyone to see how the good news of Jesus is supposed to spread over the globe. That this book is trying to show, and it's selective in the stories that it chooses, trying to show how the little Jesus movement that starts in Jerusalem is supposed to take Jesus everywhere, to the ends of the earth, as Luke says, and we'll look at in a second. But this is why Luke wrote this story and writes in the genre that he did, that we need to know the stories, because we need to see big picture, that the church, that those who follow Jesus have a mission, and that mission is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so, without diving into any specific passage this morning, because I don't want to take away from any of the other weeks as we go through this book, but I just want to look at one verse in Acts this morning. And it's nice that it serves as a summary of the book. Not all books have kind of a summary verse, but I think the book of Acts does. And so we want to open up to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That right in the beginning, Luke gives us a summary of where he's going. I say Luke, but it's literally the words of Jesus, because this is the heart of God for the church. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to his apostle or to the disciples right before he ascends to heaven. And he says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's what the book of Acts is all about. Let me read it again. "But you, the disciples, the apostles, those who follow Jesus, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the book of Acts. And I just want to work through this real quickly, the different pieces of this verse. And Jesus starts out by saying, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." That the Holy Spirit is the one at work driving the church farther and farther. And we see that in every chapter of this book. That the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises, is coming. And when he comes, when his followers are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, they will go out to accomplish the things that God wants them to do. That everything that the disciples do, everything that's recorded in this book, from the miracles and their proclamation of the gospel and the way that they interact with leaders, and we'll look into all of this, but all of that is only because they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God at work in the disciples, not their own natural ability. And that has to be at the forefront of our mind as we read the book of Acts. That this is the power of God. The Holy Spirit indwelling Christians and moving them to do what God has called us to do. And the second thing in this verse I want to highlight is the next line. "And you will be my witnesses." That Jesus' followers are called to be witnesses. The Greek word here is the word martys, which is where we get our word martyr from. And that we are going to see over and over and over again in the book of Acts that the call of the church is to be a witness. A witness for Jesus. No matter where we go, no matter what happens to us, no matter how the culture treats us, no matter even if it leads to our death, as we will see a couple times in the book of Acts, that the call of a Christian is to be a witness, and that even in death, you are a witness, and that changes people. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, Paul will write elsewhere, and that this is what the church is called to. Once indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we go out to be witnesses. And lastly, verse 8 ends with a string of cities and regions in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that this is broad-based, the model that Luke writes these stories. Like I said, he's selective in the stories that he writes. He doesn't write stories from every city that we know that the church went to. He's selective to show how the gospel spreads out. That in chapters 1 through 7, we see the gospel growing in the city of Jerusalem. And then moving into chapters 8 through 12, we're going to see it spread out a little while to the surrounding regions of Judea and Samaria. And then from chapters 13 on to the end of the book, till 28, we see the gospel going farther and farther and farther. And it's not like at the end of the book of Acts we've reached the ends of the earth, but it ends by reaching the capital city of the world. And Luke's intention is to show that the gospel never stops, but keeps going farther, and that this is the continual mission of the church. And just because the book of Acts closes doesn't mean the church's responsibility is done. And so this is the overview of the book of Acts. But I want to end just highlighting a couple themes. I just want to highlight a couple things that will pop up a lot in the book of Acts that we need to be aware of. And the first is ethnic issues. Ethnic issues are going to come up a lot in this book. That this was a problem that the early church faced, and to be honest, it's a problem that every generation of the church has to face. That the human nature is to separate and to say the other, that there's us and that there's them, and that the church has to fight against this. That the call of the church, and we're going to see it over and over, is to be united in Christ. That the church welcomes and not just welcomes, but holds equal people from every position and place and creed and nationality. It doesn't matter where you come from, that you are one in Christ. And this theme is going to come up a lot in the book of Acts. And as the church wrestles with how do we live out this truth. The second thing that we're going to see is speeches. That a full one-third, 33% of this book is recorded speeches by Jesus or the apostles speaking to each other or to other people. That we're going to see a lot of speeches. And the teaching team, we've been talking about these a lot. That we're really excited to work through these speeches that the early Christians gave because they're going to show us how to share our stories. And we think that they're genius in the way that the early Christians spoke to those around them, to the cultures that they found themselves in. And I think it's so important that as we go through the book of Acts, we pay close attention to the speeches, that we hear how other Christians shared their stories so that we can learn to share our story and share the good news of what Jesus has done. And lastly, I want to highlight one big interpretive question that's going to come up. It's an interpretive question that's true of whenever we read narratives or stories in the Bible. And to use some easy language, the big question that comes up is, are stories prescriptive or are they descriptive? In other words, when we read stories, are the events and decisions that people make, are they prescribing what all Christians ought to do? Or are they describing what Christians have done or people have done? And that alone is not enough to say that that is a command for all churches everywhere. That just because the Bible records what somebody does, that alone in and of itself is not proof positive that's what God is commanding all Christians everywhere to do. And just to give two easy examples of this from narrative stories around the Bible is first the story of Gideon, when Gideon throws the fleece on the ground to test God. Just because Gideon does that doesn't mean that's what Christians should do. Or maybe another example, and I think this one's almost comical because it's brought up sometimes, but that just because the patriarchs married a lot of women is not God prescribing that we should marry a lot of women. That the Bible can record things that aren't necessarily prescriptive for how we ought to live. And to be honest, oftentimes the Bible records things so that we can learn this is not what we ought to do. And so when we come to the book of Acts, we're going to wrestle with this question of how do we apply the stories and the things that we read in the book of Acts. We're going to see problems come up, and we think that there's a lot to learn from them. But to give an example, just because when there's a problem in the early church that they appoint seven people with Greek names, doesn't mean that the solution to all of our problems today is to appoint seven people with Greek names. That doesn't mean we can't learn from it. It doesn't mean we can't maybe take some ideas and models of how to handle problems as they come up. But that is not a prescription, like the solution to solving all problems. Or just because the church is recorded in Acts chapter 20 as meeting on the morning of the first day of the week, we don't think that's a prescription that Christians everywhere have to meet on the first day of the week. Now, we think that's a great model, and there's some great symbolic purposes in there, and I'm not advocating we change anything. But there's freedom that maybe a church in another culture, it's not practical to meet on the morning of the first day of the week, and so we're not going to say that they're sinning because they're not following the model in the book of Acts. And that this theme is going to come up, and I'm not saying today, please hear me, I'm not saying we can't learn from the book of Acts. We are going to learn a lot. But our model of understanding and applying these stories is going to be nuanced as we try to examine what is God teaching in a story and what is God trying to say for the church today. So welcome to the book of Acts. I'm excited. We're excited to move through this book. We think God's going to do big things in our church as we go through the book of Acts. That this book is what we need to hear right now for our church. And so I invite you this week, as I've just tried to give the broad-based overview of the book of Acts and where we're going, I invite you, join us in a posture of expecting to hear from God. Join us in the posture of being ready to be challenged. Our church has not arrived yet. We have not made it. We have a lot of growth still to do. And if that is the case, then we can learn so much from the book of Acts if we're ready. If we're willing to say, we've still got work to do. And so, God, as we open your word, would you lead us even closer to your heart? And so I challenge you, pray this week, pray next week as we start diving into the chapter one. Holy Spirit, grow me through this book. Not just me as an individual, but grow us as a church, that together we can be more faithful and we can live out the mission of the church more faithfully as we seek to go to the ends of the earth, to be that witness that God calls us to be. Are you ready for it? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the book of Acts. I thank you that you've given us your word, and Lord, we want to be students of your word. We want to not just learn, but we want it to change us. God, that your word changes us from the inside, that it's not just head facts that we learn, but it changes our hearts and our actions and our will and our desires. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through the book of Acts, Lord, as we study it week by week for the next many months, that you would grow and challenge and reshape our church. Lord, to look more like the church that you call us to be, that we would be more in love with you, and that love would pour out in the way that we live and the way that we go. And so, God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you have sent us a counselor to teach and to guide us, and that the story of the church is that we're doing well and we are listening to your voice and the voice of the Spirit. And so, God, give us ears to hear, give us soft hearts, so that we will live out what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.